Our text for this morning is Romans chapter 16, and we will be looking at the text as a whole this morning. Now, when one reads Romans 16, it's very easy to pass over this list of names and to give no second thought to them. Most of the names are so obscure that we would never even see them in another setting. Most of the names have very little connection to our lives. Now, as we're finishing up the epistle to the Romans, we need to ask ourselves, why in God's infinite wisdom did he include 33 names along with these few groups of people that are also mentioned? Why did God do that? Have you ever asked yourself that question as you're reading through chapters like this? Why does God do this? Why does he include these names? Now, I think that our tendency, and I believe it's a tendency for all of us, is to just skip it. We think, you know, there's nothing here for me. I'll just move on. I'll go to the next book. But this is untrue. There's plenty for us here in Romans 16. There's plenty to encourage us and plenty to correct us and to challenge us and to essentially cause us to bring glory to Jesus Christ. We need to know that Romans 16 includes a lot for us as the Church of Christ. One pastor said that Romans 16 is one of the most instructive chapters in the New Testament. Now, does that sound like a pastor overstatement or what? One of the most instructive chapters. He says, because it encourages personal relationships and it encourages love in the church. So let's see what we can learn from this list. Let's see how this love for the church and these personal relationships can be fostered and expanded because of our text. Today we'll look at these names in Romans 16 and we'll see that it shows us the importance of Paul's social network to the ministry, the importance of social networking to Paul as the gospel spreads throughout the ancient world. Now, when we think of social networking, we think of Facebook, right? Or MySpace. And as you hear young people or not so young people talking about Facebook, it's very rare for us to think, you know, there's a lot of ministry potential there, isn't there? We don't think that way. Most of us don't. But what we see with the Apostle Paul is that he believes that social networking was important and how social networking helped his ministry and helped the ministry of the church to become much more effective because there are so many hands that are involved in ministry when one social networks, according to Paul. So let's look at Paul's social network. In our text today, we are going to see three things. We will see a servant commended. We will see saints greeted. And we will see workers acknowledged. Now we begin with a servant commended. We see this in the first two verses of chapter 16. Notice when it talks about Phoebe, Phoebe's not greeted, is she? Phoebe is commended in the first couple of verses. This means that Phoebe is currently with Paul or will soon be with Paul, and Paul is going to send her along to Rome, and Rome as a church is to receive her. Paul says, I commend Phoebe to you. I'm sending her along to you, and it's your job to receive her. The word commend means to present. to praise as worthy of confidence or to recommend. Verses 1 and 2 says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in a way worthy of the saints and help in whatever way she may need of you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. So what can we learn from this servant Phoebe as she is commended? Well, first we see that Paul gives her two titles in the text. The first title that he gives is that of sister. He says, Phoebe is a sister that I'm sending along to you. Paul says that right from the beginning. As I send Phoebe to you, she is a fellow believer in Jesus Christ. And she's coming not as a hired hand, but she's coming as a member of the family of God. Receive her as such. Do not receive her as somebody who has just been hired to do a job because she's a sister in Christ. The second title that he gives is that of servant. In the Greek, it is, she is a deaconess. Phoebe is known as a servant of the church, and Paul is commending her to the church. He says, here, Phoebe is coming to you to be of service, and you are to take her. You are to receive her because she is a valuable asset to the ministry, and receive her in a way that is worthy of Christ. Now, often when people read this, the only thing they want to focus on is this question, was Phoebe an ordained deaconess in the church? Was she an office bearer? That's where people's focus generally finds itself. And people get stuck there. They see the word deaconess and there's feathers flying often on both sides of the debate. But you know, we have to see from our text that Phoebe is called a deaconess. She is called a servant. She is serving the church, and Paul does commend her for this. Now, can we prove from just these two verses that Phoebe is an office bearer? Well, can we prove from these two verses alone that she is not an office bearer? We need to ask ourselves, what are we to see when we read about Phoebe? And what we need to do is we need to see a woman that serves. We need to see that Paul is sending her forward because her service is so important to the work of gospel ministry. And we need to ask ourselves, do I serve as Phoebe served? For the men, could Paul commend me as a deacon to another church? Could Paul say, I'm sending this man along so that he can serve your community? Could Paul commend you, men, for that? In the same way, for the women, Paul sending along a woman, could Paul send you along to serve? Because he sees the service that Phoebe does within her church. And we need to ask ourselves that. Do I serve as Phoebe serves? Would I be known as a deacon to Paul? Would I be one who serves? Would I be known as a deaconess to Paul? Would I be one who serves? Obviously, Phoebe is very important to the ministry of Paul. Phoebe is being sent on behalf of Paul. Now, in ancient times, when an official document was being sent, it had to be carried by a letter carrier. you had to hire somebody to take that letter to where you wanted it to go. Remember, there's no post office. But you had to hire someone on your own to take that letter or to take a package to somebody. And Paul commends Phoebe. Now, often when letters were sent in ancient times, within that letter, it would say, who is being commended? Who is the letter carrier? Who is bringing this word to me? And that's what we see. Paul commends Phoebe. Phoebe was the one who carried this letter to the Romans. She's in Corinth, most likely, and she has to bring the letter up to Rome. And Paul entrusts her with that. He entrusts her with what is probably the greatest theological piece written in the history of man. Now, do you see the importance of this? This is not something that you would just entrust to any 20-something bike rider with a messenger bag downtown. This is something that is so important. Think of the importance of what Phoebe is carrying in her hands. One pastor writes, never was there a greater burden carried by such tender hands. The theological history of the church through the centuries was in that manuscript that she brought. The Reformation was in that baggage. The blessings of multitudes in our day was carried in those parchments. So what we see is that Phoebe is carrying one of the most important pieces of writing of all time. And no matter where you stand on whether Phoebe was an officer in the church, think of the amazement of this. That Phoebe was the one that was to deliver this. Imagine what she would have felt as Paul approached her and said, Phoebe, I trust you with this. I would like you to carry this to Rome. You see, the gospel liberates women. I mean, truly liberates women. In ancient times, women were rarely seen as valuable. And you know, this is reflected today in some Middle Eastern cultures. This week I was reading an article about women in Yemen and how over the last 30 years their clothing has gone from conservative Middle Eastern clothing that you would see around here when Middle Eastern women are in dress, to full burqas with all skin covered in 30 years. And this article was following a day in the life of this woman. And there's a photo of her purchasing ice cream for her two little girls. And she's trying to handle this ice cream with her hands covered. And the ancient world, women were often suppressed, not necessarily to that extent. But there is a way in which the gospel liberates women. We saw it in the work of Christ, how women were often involved in the ministry of Christ, and they played a role in that ministry. And here, Phoebe, entrusted with something that held the potential to change the world, and something that did change the world. We also see that the Romans are to respond to Phoebe in a certain way. They are to receive her in a certain way, and they are to show her hospitality. Paul says, give her whatever she needs. And then he grounds that. He doesn't just command that. He says, and the reason why, because she has given us so much. She has given me, Paul, so much, and many other Christians as well. She has been a patron. As a patron, Phoebe is one who is supporting the work of the ministry, most likely financially, but also in other ways. And Paul's not ashamed to say that. He's not ashamed to say, receive her and treat her well, because she treats the church well. See, Phoebe is something of a wealthy woman, something like Lydia would have been in the ancient church as well. And Paul says, practice hospitality towards her because she's been a patron, and the Greek word is prostasis to me. The Greek word is where we get our word prosthetic from. It means something to help stand. If you have a man with one leg and he has a prosthetic leg on, he can stand. Paul says, Phoebe has been this to the church. A patron. The wonderful addition to Paul's social network. This woman who, by ancient standards, was the cream of the church. And you know why Paul can call her all of these things? Why Paul can speak such big terms about who Phoebe is? Do you know why Phoebe is able to do all of these things within the Church of Christ, like carry this letter and go as a servant and be a patron and support the church both financially and through hospitality? Why can she do that? It goes back to that first word where Paul calls her sister. Phoebe would have been none of these things without the blood of Christ covering her sins. Phoebe was brought into the family of God through that redemption through Jesus Christ, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, and because of that only, Paul is to say, our sister, Phoebe. And that is the foundation of all the other ministry that is done. A servant commended. We also see that Paul wants to greet some of the people in the church of Rome as well. And Paul switches from commending Phoebe to greeting the saints in Rome. That's verses 3 through 16. Now, we don't know who all of these people are. As we read through the names, we don't know all of them, but we know that God knows who they are. And each one of them participated in ministry and church life to an extent that they received this greeting from Paul, and essentially a greeting from God, because the scriptures are God breathed. And what we learn from this list of names is something very important to us as members of the Church of Christ. We see that it takes more than pastors or elders or deacons to make up a church. Ministry goes beyond those who are trained or beyond those who are office bearers in the church. Ministry is something that is to be broad. It's to be something that many from the church are able to participate in. And even everyone in the church should be able to find a niche how they can minister in the church. We also learn from this list of names something of the Catholicity of the church. The church is Catholic with a small c, meaning universal. The church includes people from all walks of life and all nationalities and all social standings. And we see that in this list. Paul begins by greeting some good friends, some people that he knows quite well. And he begins in verse 3 with Prisca and Aquila. Have you recognized those names? They show up elsewhere in the New Testament, don't they? They show up in 2 Corinthians because they used to live in Corinth. Now they live in Rome. It shows up in 2 Timothy and it shows up in Acts as well. Luke mentions them in Acts 18. But the interesting thing is that when Luke refers to them, he refers to them as Priscilla and Aquila. But Paul uses Prisca. And what that does is it shows us a closeness. It shows a friendship between the names Paul and Priscilla. Many of you have nicknames. Nicknames that we've heard. You know, Hectorito. And Kenny. And I think because she's not here, I can get away with saying Inga. We have nicknames. And usually those who are close to us are allowed to use them. And Paul uses Prisca. He's close enough with them where he can use the name. You see, when they were in Corinth, Paul lived with them. He lived in the same house. They were hosts to Paul. We also see in verse 4 that they had risked their necks for Paul. Something that I'm sure he was eternally grateful for. And Paul says, all the Gentile churches are thankful for them as well. So we see that they were involved in ministry beyond just ministering to Paul. They were involved in much of the Gentile ministry. Maybe that's why they used to live in Corinth and now they live in Rome. We don't know. But Paul also says, greet the church within their house. So we don't know a lot about them. But we know that they were people of means. People that had a home big enough where the church could gather there for worship and for other reasons. And all of these things are sacrificial, aren't they? They're living their lives for Christ. They're living their lives to expand the gospel. We see that in Priscilla and Aquila. We also see another friend of Paul's. In verse 13, we see Rufus and his mother are greeted. And some of Paul's warmth, some of his humanity comes out here. Often when we see Paul, we think cold theologian. And he says, greet Rufus and his mother, because she's been like a mom to me. Don't you see that as warm? Shows some of Paul's humanity. Hey, say hello to Rufus and say hello to his mom as well. So we see friends greeted. We also see Gentiles greeted. We begin with Epaphroditus, who Paul describes in verse 5 as the first convert to the province of Asia. What a special greeting that was. Often on mission fields, that first convert is remembered with such care and such love. And often when you read stories of missions that are set up in certain parts of the world, often you'll read something about the first convert. Paul says, greet him. Another Gentile that we see is Epliatus. And that's a Latin name. And historically, the name Epliatus is one that is a slave name. It's one that stays within slave families. So most likely, he is a Roman slave. And then the next Gentile name that we see is Urbanus. And this time, not a slave name, but a name that is shared only amongst the upper class. A name that shows standing and position in society. So as we look at these names that Paul greets, we begin to see a vision for what the Church of Rome looked like. Friends of Paul and men and women and Gentiles from other parts of the world and slaves and free men. The next is Stachys. And we know nothing of who he or she is. But again, God knows the labors. And what I think that we can draw out of that is that God knows the quiet labors of those who go unnoticed. Those who do work in the church, those who minister to the body of Christ, but are never acknowledged, never seen quietly behind the scenes, doing their work unto the glory of God. God notices them. The next Gentile names are Tryphena and Tryphosa. If the Jensen twins were girls, we could have recommended Tryphena and Tryphosa. These two are sisters. Most commentators believe that they were twin sisters. The names mean dainty and delicate. Again, we don't know much about what they did, but we know that they did work in the Church of Rome. The next Gentile on the list is Persis, another woman. Persis means Persian lady. And Paul describes her as a woman who has worked hard. The remaining names among the Gentiles that are mentioned, also people that we know nothing of. But we see men and women. We see relatives. We see husband and wives. We see some that are common among slaves, some that are common amongst the rich. God knows who they are. So when the saints greeted, we see friends, we see Gentiles, but we also see slaves. Amongst the two remaining Gentile names, they're actually groupings of people in verse 10. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus, and greet those who belong to the family of Narcissus. And this does not mean greet those who have the last name Eshelman. It means greet those who belong to the Eshelman family. Greet those who are slaves. Two slave families. Aristobulus was the grandson of Herod the Great. And when he died, his slaves were willed to Nero. So we see that the gospel is beginning in Rome to penetrate the upper families of Roman society. So on Nero's property, Nero who hated the church, on Nero's property, there are slaves that he owns that sing praise to God, that lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And also Narcissus. John Stott says, Narcissus was none other than the well-known rich and powerful freeman who exercised great influence over Claudius. He was a personal secretary to Claudius. Now, these stories of slaves that are owned by powerful families, they would have spread through the church as encouragement. Because remember, the point of the gospel, the goal of the gospel of Christ, was not just so that there could be one or two converts. Remember, the goal is nations discipled. And here are the top families in Rome. The gospel has made it into these homes. Paul also mentions Jews. He mentions Mary. He says Mary worked hard. He mentions married couples, Amplianatus and Junia. And he mentions Herodian. All Jews working along Gentiles to see the gospel expand in Rome. Friends, sometimes we hear about the United States as being this great melting pot or this great experiment. But friends, the Church of Christ, as we see in this list, is the great melting pot. Outside of early Christian writings, you would have never seen a list so diverse being greeted. And it gives us this tiny glimpse of what the Church of Christ is to look like. So we see Paul sending greetings to the saints. We also see Paul acknowledging workers toward Rome. Look at verses 21 through 23. In these two verses, we see people who are with Paul, and they're sending their greetings to Rome. So Phoebe, remember, Phoebe was being sent to Rome. And then Paul says hello to all of these people who are in Rome. And now he has all of these workers with him at Corinth who also want to send greetings to Rome. We begin with Timothy in verse 21. Now Timothy was mentored by Paul. We know that in two pastoral epistles that bear his name, Paul calls him his child, even his beloved child. Paul says that he was like a father to Timothy. Timothy was trained for gospel ministry under Paul. And here Paul calls Timothy not a son, not a little child, not a beloved child, but a fellow worker. Imagine what Timothy would have thought as he read that. For so much of his life, Paul has been the mentor. And here Paul calls him a fellow worker. For Timothy, it was probably such a huge overstatement. And in Paul's mind, it was probably such a huge understatement. The next three he mentions are Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater. And again, we don't know who they are. There's mention of these names in the book of Acts, but we don't know if they are the same men. But we know that they are men who, because of the gospel of Christ, have been taken out of their element and have devoted their lives to seeing the gospel expanded in the world. The next greeting is a personal favorite of mine, Tertius. He's Paul's personal secretary, Paul's scribe. You read the list. Paul, say hello to this person and that person, and then this person sends his greetings, and then there's this, don't forget me. Don't forget me, I greet you too, written right there in the text. One pastor says he feels the need of adding his own personal greeting, a greeting definitely like all the others in the Lord, that is expressed as one who is included in that mystic and marvelous fellowship which unites believers with Christ. And then he says, it is the Lord alone who knows how greatly indebted our writers to their faithful secretaries. The next on the list is Gaius. He's taken the place of Priscilla and Aquila in Corinth. Remember, Paul used to live with Priscilla and Aquila. Now he's living with Gaius, who serves as his host and ministers to the city. We don't know if he had a church that met in his home or whether he just had an open door policy where many Christians were ministered to in his home. Either way, important work. And then we see Erastus, the city treasurer. Again, the gospel penetrating those high and powerful positions in the ancient world. Paul's saying, hey Rome, it's happening here too. There are officials who are coming under the submission to Christ. And we end with Quartus. Again, a name we know nothing about, but a believer that is known to Rome and one who is sending his greeting. So friends, we have a servant commended in Phoebe. We have saints greeted in the middle of the text, and we have workers sending their greetings at the end of the text. When we look at Romans 16, we don't see a chapter that is just filled with so much doctrinal meat that we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks on it. But we do see a lesson about Christ. And we do see a lesson about the church of Jesus Christ. We see a list of people that would have looked like you and me in the ancient church, faithfully laboring, quietly laboring to see the kingdom of God expand, to see the work of Christ expand. And Paul acknowledges them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, workers for the kingdom of God, workers that have been liberated because they have submitted themselves to Jesus Christ. Servant commended. Saints greeted. Workers acknowledged. Because Paul's social network reflected the work that God is doing in Rome, and essentially what God is doing in the world. Friends, we must network for Christ's cause as well. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are abundantly thankful that you redeem common men and women and use them for work in your kingdom. Lord, we know that this world is so large, and we are but small fish in the big pond. But Lord, we pray that we would work unto your glory in such a way that we receive not the praise of men, but the smiles of God. Amen.